Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Michaels, author of Natural Rhythms, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, you know, there's nothing better than getting back from a long trip and climbing in those crispy, clean sheets. And your favorite bed, I'm a big believer in investing in the right bed and buying a beautiful, my bed was handmade in India. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, beautiful feature. And I think, you know, you spend so much time in bed that, you know, it's worth saving up if you don't have the money and buying a great bed, buying the best mattresses, which, you know, I mean, some of the most expensive mattresses can be $30,000. You don't have to go that expensive, but, you know, investing in a really, really good mattress. And, you know, the right one for your body, the right one for your back, the right one for your comfort level. And then going out and buying the right sheets. And those sheets, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you get the right, I buy either Egyptian cotton or a bamboo. I mean, if you're going to have a kick-ass sleep, you want to think of your bed like you think of your car. A lot of you invest in a car, yet you spend 8 hours or 10 hours, some of you even longer, stuck between the sheets. It might as well be a kick-ass bed. I should actually, in fact, if you're thinking about buying a bed, I should find someone who says, hey, Dave, send people our way. But mine was handmade in India, and it's just this beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love jumping in this vessel of the night. And allowing my head to settle down, and I feel like it's one of the great investments of my life is learning how important a great bed is, and then looking after it. You know, the first thing you do when you wake up is make that bed and straighten those sheets out so that when you climb back in at night, it's not all wrinkly under your bum. It's absolutely perfect. Anyway, this, ladies and gentlemen, you know I've been away for weeks. I want a little apology. Because I know that I wasn't as present. I was so, so busy running two programs back to back and still finding time to get together with you guys and chat and share. I know that it wasn't my best work, but I was just pleased that you were there. And I remember so often, you know, laying in my hammock with you or sitting on the ocean side, you know, listening to the lapping of the waves with you. It took me a little bit back to Bali when I was in Bali earlier this year, or even Australia. I mean, we've done three trips this year together. And, you know, I just didn't really have the time to bring you along like I would have because, you know, when I'm running a program, it's all out. You know, I don't have time to think about Facebook. I don't have time to think about anything, just the students. It's about really, you have to be completely present. Anyway, look, when I'm back in my studio means that I get to play with my music again. Yeah, I can't do this on the road the same way. So here I am with thinking about the holidays. And I've got a guest coming to the show today who has been on the show before. She's back by popular demand, but she also has something that really is very topical for the vacation, for the holidays coming up. Whether you celebrate it through, call it Christmas, or you call it Hanukkah, or however you celebrate your Christmas or your vacation time at this time of year, there's some steps, some strategies that you can adopt that will take your time with your family to a whole nother level. And she's an expert, and she is just a beautiful human being. And her name, of course, is the wonderful Andrea, Andrea Owen. And she has a real claim to fame because she came up with Your Kick-Ass Life, which is her website, yourkickasslife.com. And she does some amazing coaching there where she does kick ass. Anyway, she allowed me to keep my name. It was quite close to hers, and she allowed me to keep my name. And we sort of work in partnership now, which is cool. So anytime I can help her out, I salute her for who she is, but I salute her work as well. And her, this is going to be so much fun listening into this because, you know, it's one of those things where when you've got that energy, you can always hear it in my voice. you know, that I kind of match the person who I'm talking to. And you just wait. I just know already, because I remember the last call we were on together, the last show we were on together, just what she brings out in me is that like edgy little devil in me comes out when I'm around her. So, you know, enjoy this. The seven steps, strategies of having a kick-ass holiday where you don't want to kill your family members at the end of it. So I think we can all learn from this. So sit down, fasten up, buckle up, and join me as I sit down with the wonderful Andrea Owen. Well, you guess what? She's back. She's here. Yay! I can't believe it. You know, I needed my shot in the arm of the wonderful Andrea Owen, and she's here. Andrea, welcome back to the show.
What a great welcome that is. I missed you, David.
Guess what? I have never had anyone back on the show before.
You're kidding me.
You're the first. Now, in saying that, I had a call last night from John Assaraf. For, I don't know if you know John, but he wrote the book, The Answer. Mm-hmm. And he wants to come back on. So, I mean, he will be the second a person that's been on the show twice. So I am so excited because I love this because I think the show is all about relationships and our relationship is as important as anyone else's. So I'm so happy you're back.
Well, good. Me too. I'm glad to be here. And all it took was me, you know, emailing you every single day and showing up on your doorstep at 2 a.m. I mean,
yeah, well, I think you forgot to say with that bottle of gin though, and that bottle of gin sure helped.
It was empty. Sorry.
Hey, by the way, you know, I got to tell you, the feedback from our listeners was awesome. They love the edginess of you, and I can't tell you how many women felt inspired to pick it up a notch in their life. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I know
you're welcome. My pleasure.
I know you got an idea. You know, the holidays can be the most stressful time. I watch people all over, and somebody who left home when he was, so I was 15 when I left home, and 20 when I left England. So I've never had to have this sort of this family Christmas thing that I see a lot of people go through. That's one aspect of Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I know you want to talk to me about this sort of like strategies to have the most kick-ass holiday. Now, let's not use the word Christmas. We'll use the word holidays because everyone celebrates differently.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you know that we need to know?
Well, and the thing is that now I have two small children. I'm married and I have that nuclear all-American family where I have a boy and a girl, and things, I think, kind of change a little bit. And you're expected to, buy presents for everybody and make sure your Christmas is extra special for your little ones. And, you know, you have to visit, you know, a lot of people have divorced parents, so you have to drive to one set of parents for half the day, drive to another set of parents, or you're at home hosting, and it just becomes this big, dramatic thing. I mean, and I'm just talking about Christmas Day, but what about the actual lead up for it? And, you know, before I became a life coach, I worked in retail for a long time. And I used to, you may not know this about me, David, but I used to dress mannequins and windows for a living for a major department store. And we would start decorating for the holidays. I'm not kidding you. We would start in August.
Wow.
I know. And so it's just the commercialism of it. And to be totally honest, there's a really small part of me that misses being like around all the Christmas music, but I think I would just want it for one day, not 4 months. But, you know, and my point is like, I would see people get in these shouting matches in the parking lots of malls over a parking space. I mean, that's how bad it would get. And I'm just like, what is going on with people? And so that's why I was, you know, that's why I emailed you and said, you know what, we need to do a call. We need to do an entire episode just on how to get through these holidays without wanting to
going insane and wishing there wasn't one next year. I got to tell you one little tip on that. I tried to play a Christmas song where I apparently couldn't do it while you were talking because it almost drowned you out. So I was going to play you a little Bing Crosby there. So what you heard in the background, the audience, was me being a real twit with this knob over here. But it's something you don't know
about. I love Christmas music.
So, something you don't know about me. Hey, shit, let's have a little interlude. Ready? I'll push it on. Ready? So we can't speak. Here we go. Ready?
Go ahead.
Golden ring for calling birds. Three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You can sing, Andrea.
There you go.
It's funny, just as I turned it off, you started singing. So you were there all on your own with no background music.
Let's just do this for 45 minutes, shall we?
Let's just sing our favorite Christmas carols. That would be awesome.
It'll be your most popular episode.
Hey, I got to tell you, one of the things I did, I set out every year to spend Christmas in a different country. I wanted to never, ever spend Christmas the same way twice. So it's interesting you bring this up because I was thinking back over all of the holiday seasons. And again, I apologize for our people who don't celebrate Christmas. We're talking about Hanukkah and all the other ways of celebrating that time of year.
Yes.
But Andrea, we know that I see it all over the world. I mean, culturally, you know, it's that time where people are coming together, but there's that financial stress, there's that family stress, there's all these other things that really do, they go on. So let's talk about some of these. I think you've got the 7 steps to having a kick-ass holiday, right?
Yep.
What's number one? Lay it on me, sister.
So everybody get your notebooks out. Here we go. The first one is, you know, and we get lost in the doing over the holidays and all the things to do. And, you know, I work with one-on-one clients and already they're starting to come to sessions and they're saying, I'm overwhelmed already with what's on my to-do list for the holidays. So what I challenge people to do is just ask them, what do you want to be and how do you want to be instead of what do you want to do? Because we are called human beings and we are so focused on the doing. So I ask people to set their intentions. What are your intentions? How do you want to feel over the holidays? Where do you want your emotions to be? Do you want to feel happy or do you want to feel inspired or hopeful or do you want to feel stressed out and overwhelmed? You get to decide. So really all it is about your perspective here and setting intentions and making a choice.
So this whole idea about responsibility then, I mean, we look at that in all areas of our life. It seems to be that I'm taking responsibility to how I want to feel, how I want to be is a big step. So it comes down to that, right?
It does. And I'm sure you know this, David, that our feelings and emotions are not based on our circumstances. They're based on our thoughts. So I tell people all the time, you get to decide what your thoughts are here. So if you are so overwhelmed about Christmas, an easy way to shift that, and this is my default tool for anything, is gratitude. If you are just like, oh my God, how am I going to, they're not trying to get to the mall and I didn't buy this person their presents at the gift exchange and I've got to do this for work. Okay, so just stop. What are you grateful for right now? You listening to this interview right now, stop and name 5 things that you are grateful for in this moment. And that should shift the way you feel.
It does. And we practice gratitude in our house every day. After a meal, we do this thing. You try it with your kids. And our kids love it. And they hate it. But they love it. And they hate it. But they love it. But they do it because we've done it for so many years. But after each meal, we share 2 things we were grateful for today, 1 thing we were good at today, and 1 thing we're looking forward to. So 2 gratitudes, 1 thing we were good at today. And I'm telling you, when people come like guests and they're adults, they struggle. You see them squirming in their seats. They're like, this is for kids, right? You say, no, we all do it. And you see them and you know where they get stuck? Well, I was good at today. This is what adults get stuck on. It's so funny to watch.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah, it really to take the time to do it and don't rush around the table, like give everybody an opportunity to talk and say what they want. And we actually started doing this, and this kind of coincides with one of the other steps that I have, but I started doing that with my own children, and they're little, they're only 5 and 3, but it doesn't mean that you can't start them early on practicing gratitude. And I don't call it gratitude. I simply ask them, tell me what makes you happy.
Love it.
It's an easier way for them to understand. And sure, my 5-year-old son says fire trucks, Legos, and, you know, things like that.
And more dessert, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. And then my 3-year-old daughter always repeats what her brother says or what I say. But what totally took me off guard one day is that my son, we were asking him, and we went around and it was one time at dinner, and he started. And we asked him, okay, Colton, what makes you happy? And he said, you make me happy, Mommy. Oh. And I'll tell you what.
Did you cry?
I did. And my husband's across from me from the table. And he looks, he's got tears in his eyes, and I'm just like, oh, it just felt like it was validation. It was, I admit it.
Awesome.
But it's easier for kids to grasp that. And yeah. Even teenagers, if they don't, like, I don't want to do gratitude. Well, what makes you happy? Even if it's your iPod.
I love it. I'm gonna change my routine. I love it. I think it's an awesome twist, and I'm always looking for new ways to do stuff. So, hey, let's go to step two, because I know there's a big step two coming.
Oh, it's huge. Well, it's basically it kind of dovetails from the first one, but it's setting the intention for what your priorities are. So, again, that we get so caught up in what it is that we have to do and all these little things. So what are the big rocks that you have? And I learned this from Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, and he talks about the big rocks. What's really, really important to you? What are the things that are important about the way you live? I'm not talking just around the holidays. I'm talking about in your day-to-day life, because a lot of times what happens is we let go of those and we get so caught up in all of this doing is that we forget. So before you set out on this crazy time of year, think about what's really important to you and about the way that you live. And then make sure that that is a priority for you for staying on task. Does that make sense? Did I explain that okay?
Yeah. Let me put you on the spot, because I think it would give people some way of doing that. So if I was to ask you that question about your big rocks, being a mom of two kids and having a busy life and everything else like that, what are some of the big rocks that you would lay down in answering that question?
Well, I know that for me, because I'm somebody that's extremely productive. Like, I can get done more things than I even surprise myself. But it doesn't make me, what am I trying to say? Like, that's not something that I'm going to take to my grave. That's not something that my children are going to remember me for. That's not part of my legacy. So what's important to me is taking the time for when my son wants me to play Candyland with him, when I really honestly don't want to play Candyland, I do it anyway. So it's quality time. And I know it sounds so cliche, but really what people remember us for is the quality time that we spend with them. Not how many things that we crossed up on our to-do list, not the awesome present that you gave them for Christmas.
And you've got to be honest. I mean, I work with a lot of women. About 80% of my students are women. And women, because they end up looking after or taking on that role as provider of everything for everyone, that to-do list can be pretty important each day, right?
Yeah, it is. And I actually follow, I got this from Stephen Covey as well, is the six big rocks every day. And I only, listen to this, ready? I only allow six things on my to-do list every day. And that includes work and personal life. So if going to the grocery store is something that I need to do today, that goes on the list. Just because you think it's a given, like working out or doing laundry, if it's a task, then it needs to go on your list. So that has totally changed my life. It really has. Because if I have to look at a list of 12 to 15 things, which I could easily create, I'll be overwhelmed and I won't be focused on what I'm doing. And then that's when I start to push my things that are important to me aside, like my time with my children.
That's awesome. You know, and I think a lot of people, if they just took that on, six big rocks, and if when we start thinking about, you know, some of the earlier questions, what gives us meaning, and then, you know, some of those big rocks are going to be around that connection and spending time with our loved ones. And so suddenly we start making those the priority, right?
Six things is a lot of things, you guys. Like, it really is a lot of things. And if something doesn't get done, you put it on the next one. But it just gives you a break. I mean, God, we do so much as human beings, and we're so into instant gratification too, and it has changed the game. So I give that assignment to, I work with a lot of high achieving women, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but it's always a great exercise, and they always thank me for it. And
Andrea, sorry, interrupting, a little newsflash, you are a little crazy.
I'm not a little crazy. I'm a lot crazy.
Was that a big rocks? Was that a step? Was that step three, or was that just a little bonus in step two? The six big rocks. It sounded like
that was step two. Yeah, I haven't said step three yet. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm holding on to the edge of my seat.
This is my favorite, and I have to give credit where credit is due. My former business coach, Gina Gabellini, she coined the term: if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And this changed my life, because really, everyone, if you I mean, you don't have to totally shift your life into living by this mantra, but start thinking about it. How many times in your day, in your week, in your month, do you do things that aren't hell yeses? Where you say yes to things and you're like, oh, I don't really want to do this. You do it anyway, and then your energy sucks and you're resentful and it might ruin your whole day. So just shifting, and this is especially helpful over the holidays. If you don't want to go to your work holiday party, if it's not a hell yes for you, don't go. You're at choice.
I love it. I love it. I'm writing that down. Okay. The reason I went quiet there, because I think that's one of those big things where we say, it's so easy for us to compromise on that one question. I've never asked myself that question, although I do believe intuitively I kind of get this, but having a visual on it, is it a hell yes? Well, if it's not, it's a hell no. I love it. It's awesome.
Sometimes it's a hell maybe. Yeah. And if it's a hell maybe, then, you know, give yourself permission to say no. Like, I'll give you a quick example. One of my very good friends and colleagues recently called me up, and she's also a life coach, and she had the opportunity to do a project. She's formerly a makeup artist and she was a very successful makeup artist. So she had the opportunity to make a lot of money in a very short period of time doing makeup for this special project. And she had done it in the past, and it's a ton of work for her. She really doesn't enjoy doing makeup anymore at all, but she would basically just be doing it for the money. She could have used the money, but it wasn't like she's starving or anything. Like, she didn't absolutely need it. So for her, it was a hell maybe, kind of bordering on a hell no. So I asked her, like, what would make it a hell yes? Because honestly, if the money was at least twice as much. So I told her, I said, okay, so go and counteroffer and ask them if they could pay you twice as much. And if they can't, then say no. You know, just give yourself a break. And really, I believe that the universe listens to that. And if you're putting out the energy and only saying yes to things that are hell yeses, you're going to get more opportunities for hell yeses.
I love it. I love it. And I love that question. What a powerful question. I mean, did she get double or did she get more or did she?
No, I don't think that the girl ever returned her email.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't right. No. But she felt really, and she told me, she said, I feel totally at peace with it.
Yeah, no, I can see it. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of instances, there's a big word. Can I borrow your teeth for this one? There's a lot of times where you'd ask for that and you'd actually get it because people would feel in you that conviction, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's a great negotiating term too. So if you are, like the example I just gave you, so ask yourself, what would make it a hell yes? Is it different hours? Is it, you know, that you don't have to wear cocktail attire to the party? So it's a way to get to know yourself a little bit more too, like what your boundaries are, what you will tolerate, what you will not, et cetera.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. We're going on to number four. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your Christmas ornaments.
Oh, this is a good one because you were talking about family. And it's about dealing with relatives that you don't like. And not everyone might deal with this. You know, maybe your family is awesome and you're like, you know, the perfect family that we see on TV. But a lot of us have certain family members, maybe more than one, that they don't particularly like. And what I want to say about this, there are times when it's a hell no, but you got to show up at the same house as somebody that just really rubs you the wrong way. So all I'm going to say here is to not allow these people to drag you into their shit, because you are always, and I've said this like three times already, you're always at choice here. So I'm going to give you a quick example. I have a family member, not an immediate family member, but a family member. And she sent me this email recently. And she was basically telling me that I needed to get in touch with another family member of mine because that person can use some moral support. And I thought, okay, this person that she was talking about that needed moral support, I have tried and tried and tried to be there for this person, but this particular person is a chronic victim. And it's just, it's my way of setting boundaries. And this person has plenty of moral support, doesn't need mine. So I emailed her back and I said something like, I politely said, it's none of your business. And I blocked her on Facebook. I didn't just unfriend her, I blocked her. So that was my way of setting boundaries. And then this person proceeds to send me an email to my personal email account. And I didn't even open the email. I just deleted it. So my point of the story is that just because they're family members doesn't mean that you're obligated to get pulled into their drama or their dysfunction or their unhealthy behaviors.
Awesome. And I think, you know, I don't know many families that don't struggle with this at sort of that time of year when people, you know, they come together. And I think, again, you know, if you use some of these steps preceding this, you know, when you've really filled your own cup up, then when you're in those situations mm-hmm. with families, if you've taken that time, if you've only done the big rocks, if you've really, you know, nurtured yourself up to the day when everyone's gathering, typically your energy can be so buoyant and light that even if there is that toxic energy around, what happens is you can actually affect that other person as opposed to being, like you say, right. being dragged into their shit. But, you know, if you're rushing in there like everyone else and it's all chaos and everyone's, you know, it's almost like an obligation. And I have this exactly. thing about buying gifts. I should have been a Jehovah's Witness probably, but you know, and I don't mean that badly. I'm just saying is that, you know, I find it very, very hard to have to buy gifts. You know, I don't buy yeah. birthday gifts the same or wedding gifts. I just feel the whole thing is like, I love buying things for people when I want to, but this obligation thing. So I don't really get into that a whole lot. I do. It's not like I never buy gifts. I do, but I love buying it when I'm ready and when I want to. And especially if I think it's something mm-hmm. that someone wants. And that's another big thing, right? Around this whole family thing is this pressure to provide and do, and then you get people mm-hmm. getting into debt. So what I love is around this whole family conversation is that, you know, if we take step one through three, then the probability is your energy is going to be lighter anyway in this situation, right?
Precisely. You're so smart, David.
Oh, you know, I got already.
You should have your own podcast.
Oh, you know, yeah, I have to have my own because no one will have me on theirs. Okay.
No, but I love that you said the word obligation because, yes, there is obligation around buying gifts. There's obligation around showing up for activities. And there's obligation for dealing with people that you don't want to deal with. And what tends to happen there is that, remember our last conversation when I was on the show last time, we talked exclusively about the gremlin and this inner critic, what you call, I love this term, the rowdy roommate. And when I see obligation happen in people, that's when their own inner critic gets all up in their business and makes them feel like shit for setting boundaries.
Right.
And really, it's a matter of self-care. It's a matter of self-love.
Well, one of my favorite sayings that I wrote and coined, I mean, I think people in our business like to have our own sayings, and I do. This is one of my, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your knickers as I tell you this one. But it's,
love it.
You know,
I love that
stop, you know, stop taking advice from broken, happy people. And even when that's family members, you know, if somebody is really unhappy and if somebody is really, really, you know, broke and they're trying to tell you how to live just without, you know, even getting into the sort of the darker energies, just don't take their advice and realize they're just coming from where they can come from. It's the only place they can yeah. come from. It's who they are. It's their experience. And the best way to help them through it, again, I'm not an enabler, so I don't do that. But it's just by, like you just said, Andrew, is staying out of their shit, is actually staying in that more enlightened zone. And then typically you can have impact, right?
Yeah, you can. And the thing is like the example that I gave you with my family member is it's I'm not trying to make her wrong. I didn't respond to her second email. I didn't even open it. What I was doing is choosing myself over that. I am choosing not to collude with that type of behavior and that type of person. And that's her own. Like, she can go over there and be that way and yeah. That's her journey. It's
I love
not
that.
For
By
me
the way, that's
really even to judge.
That's a line in your book. I know you've got a book coming out, but choosing myself over that. That's one of those great lines. I'm going to choose myself over that. And that can be anything, any kind of darkness, right? Well, I love it. I think that, and it's such an important subject. I would be very, very surprised. I know some people that have the greatest families on earth, but when I see them all get together at Christmas, there's still that stuff, you know, that one old auntie who, you know, every time she's had a 19th drink, you know, we find her hanging from the roof.
Yeah, with her stockings around her ankles.
Exactly. But anyway, what's number five?
Well, it actually kind of brings me to number five, and this is something to make it fun. And this, I got this idea from my friend and colleague Susan Hyatt, who's also a life coach. She calls it holiday bingo, and I might be not explaining it exactly the way she explains it. But she basically, you come up with, and this is having fun, you guys. You come up with a list of all these things that may or may not happen either on the holiday that you're celebrating, but basically when you're gathering with all these people, whether it's an office party or, you know, a holiday dinner or anything like that, holiday bingo. Okay. So for instance, it might be like you're, like you said, your grandma is going to have 19 drinks and wind up passed out. Your Uncle Bob is going to say something completely inappropriate to sexually inappropriate to a family member. You know, your other two sisters are going to end up in a fight. Somebody's kid's going to fall over and split their lip open because their parents were too busy on their mobile phone. Like all these different things that, you know, make it fun. And then what you can do is have a friend that's at another engagement, and then you guys can text each other and say like, okay, you know, I got a bingo.
actually, you could always take it to another level. You could actually make a card up where you both have like a set of 12 different things that you are going to anticipate will happen. And when you get one, you say, okay, now I've got number one on mine. And then you go until you get the whole card. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
The whole card filled up, and whoever, you know, somebody wins a prize. But, you know, it's all about trying to make light of what could be a really hard situation. And, you know, I advise that you probably don't tell your family members, like, all these things. But it's just, again, just a way to make it fun.
When the uncle's being appropriate, and you go, bingo!
Yeah.
I love it. Yes, I love it. Yes, but that, again, as we elevate ourselves a little bit and by keeping it light, and I'll give you an example of that. I mean, my mom and dad hadn't been together for 43 years, and my dad left when I was 7. And so I had my 50th last year, and they came over, and my mom spent 3 weeks in my house. My dad spent 2 weeks. Now imagine they haven't seen each other. And it was a really dark and hateful kind of divorce. And it was like, you know, I mean, every cliche under the book was there. So I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to do? I've got these two forces coming together that, you know, don't like each other or haven't, you know. And so what I did was I took them out on a boat that when my dad arrived in the airport, my mom doesn't swim. I'm thinking, I'm just going to take them out on the lake for the whole day with my kids. I'm just going to go out there. And I thought, any crap that comes up, they're not going anywhere. They can sort it out. So the rest of the 2 weeks, my dad's here, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, and it really worked out. And we just had fun. I didn't buy into any kind of energy, you know, and it took about 5 or 6 days for them to mellow out completely. But, you know, by week two, my dad's opening the door for my mom to get in the car, you know, and they're conversing, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, when you come up with this list of things that might happen, it you might be able to pinpoint exact phrases that are going to happen. When my friend Susan described it, she said that her brother-in-law, every holiday, he always asks her if she's on another diet, like just to be a dick. And so like, that's on her bingo card.
I love the way, I just did a video with you in it, by the way, I'll send it to you. But I was talking about how you cut through all the crap and get right to the heart of it.
I do. I just feel like I don't like to waste people's time. I don't like to pussyfoot around things.
I know. That's why people love you so much. Number six
is to create traditions that matter. And you and I just talked about and you know, the going around the table and talking about what you're grateful for or what makes you happy. But, you know, these can be things like, do you want to go, if you celebrate with a Christmas tree, do you want to go to an actual Christmas tree farm and cut down the Christmas tree? And you know what just thought came to me is, have you ever seen that movie, A Christmas Story, when they go to the Christmas tree farm? Yeah. I love that movie. Oh my gosh, I was at a convenience store the other night, and that lamp that's in that movie, the leg with the fishnet stocking, they were selling it at Walgreens, and I really wanted to buy it.
You didn't buy it?
Facebook, it was funny.
I know.
I did it.
What, I was see, now I know, now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. Awesome.
Oh, good. Thank you. It was awesome. Yeah, I got so many comments on it. People were like, why didn't you buy it?
You know, we have a Christmas tree farm just down the road from our house, and it's like going back into it's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie or something like that, you know. And they live in a trailer, and they
awesome.
Just want. They're beautiful people, but they're very, very simple. And honestly, you walk in there, and there's no furniture in the house, and there's a big roaring stove, and they're so warm and engaged. And so the tradition is to go down there, and we cut our own tree down, and spend time with this family who are beautiful, and we always invite them up, but they never come up for a drink over Christmas, but we always invite them, and they're just this really but it really throwback 100 years, and that's where they are. So I think traditions are so beautiful.
It is, and it's like these are the things that your kids are going to remember forever. I mean, they'll forget the Christmas presents that you actually got them. They'll probably remember a few here and there, but the traditions are the things that they're going to remember. And they can be, unique. I mean, they can be things that other families don't do. I mean, it can be something simple, like you play Yahtzee every Christmas Eve. Like, for instance, my dad, he's 75 now, but for as long as I can remember, he's always bought me a very small box of See's candy for Christmas. And I'll tell you a secret, I don't really like See's candy, but here's the thing. I don't tell him. I hope he's not listening. He doesn't usually listen to this kind of stuff. But I don't tell him because there's going to be a day he's not around anymore and I don't get that box of See's candy and it's going to break my heart. So now I cherish it every Christmas when I get it wrapped up and I already know what it is and it's just cute. He hands it to me and it's just one of those things. So I think people forget. We overlook these traditions that matter a lot.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I really do. And I think that if you don't have traditions right now, and Andrea, that may be a good thing to write a blog on or anything like that. It's all the different types of traditions that people have. So, because it's great to steal some. You see one that really works and it's so much fun and it's so easy. Like you say, just even playing Yahtzee or, you know, that kind of thing would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't think of any, people are listening and they're like, I can't think of any except for playing Yahtzee, do a quick Google search of it. My God, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of ideas. Or post it to your Facebook status, ask your friends, what are your favorite Christmas traditions? And then that gets other people to think about their favorite. Like my husband speaks so fondly. His grandmother practically raised him and she passed away about 2 years ago. And he speaks so fondly of the traditions that she used to do with him and his cousins. He was an only child. So it makes such a difference.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And number seven, we're almost
there.
And
we're on the last one. Yeah. And this goes back to just kind of like coaching 101. Focus on what your core values are. And I'm not just usually I talk to people about what their personal core values are, but if you have a family and I'm, you know, kind of speaking to people that have families, what are your family's core values? Like sit down as a family, you know, or sit down with your spouse or your partner and say, what is important to us as a family? Because a lot of times we get caught up in our own things that are important to us. And also I do think that's great. And I want people to honor their own personal values. Around this time of year, it's a perfect opportunity to sit down with the people that are closest to you and talk about what's really important to you. And what's important to you is important to you, period. A PS here. Your values are not up for ridicule or criticism from anyone. They're yours.
Mm. So can you give me, if I was to ask you that question so people can get a sense of what that means, if they don't really understand this question fully, how would you answer that? So focus on what your core values are. So what do you focus on over Christmas and what would be your values in this to answer this question for them?
Values are, well, you know, the best resource to find out a ginormous list of values. I'm sure you know who Steve Pavlina is. Steve Pavlina has, if you just Google list of values, I think his site comes up first. He has a list of 300 plus values. And the most common ones for people are things like love, honesty and integrity, you know, work ethic. What are your core values, David?
Family, truth, space, I suppose. I mean, space with the ones I love. I suppose that's around love as well. Making a difference. I think, you know, purpose is a core value.
Is
that living a life of service? So that would come up. And intimacy is a value. Again, I know it's not a traditional value, but I think, you know, being intimate with myself as far as, you know, knowing who I am, but sharing that in the deepest level. So vulnerability would be the value, I suppose, is living in that place where I can be completely, and that's, again, going along with truth. What's a couple of yours?
Well, you know, and a lot of times I tell people, think about, in order to figure out what yours are or your family, think about things that piss you off. So things that piss you off, that means that one of your values is being stepped on. And so that's a great way to figure it out.
What pisses you off?
If you get, well, like, for instance, like I had a client one time and littering pissed her off, like to no end. So we figured out like, well, is it cleanliness that is your value or is it people's responsibility to the environment or is it your responsibility to the environment? So there's all sorts of ways to kind of dig deeper and figure out what they are. another way to think about it too is a lot of times people forget what their values are because they're not presently honoring them in their life. For instance, if your physical health is a value to you, but you can't quit smoking and you've had a really hard time quitting smoking, you might forget because you're not really honoring that value of your own personal health. So think about the ones that you're not honoring. And, you know, this is just basic. Like, if you're not honoring your values, people get down in the dumps. Like mine, some of mine are human connections, like what you and I are doing right now, talking about stuff that matters. I can't go very long having small talk with people and living on the surface of my life. I go nuts. And you know what? That's not really a value of my husband. He's totally fine, like not talking about really deep introspective stuff. And that's okay. I don't judge him for not having the same value as me, and he doesn't judge me. You don't have to, you know, in a partnership, you don't have to completely understand the other person's value, but just don't shit on it. That's the deal breaker. So, like, support the other person, but you don't have to get it. You know, another one for me, I have similar ones to you. You know, truth, obviously. I'm a big truth teller. Being of service, human connections, and friendships are really important to me. I had a hard time when I moved out here from California to Utah. And because one of my values wasn't, I wasn't honoring it. So some of them are temporary and you work through it, but they're so important to your life.
You know, you say that about friendship, that's something we do a lot. And it is a high value for me, as I always think of friends, especially with someone, I have no immediate family apart from my children now in this country, right? So, but the I think friendship for me is that extension of heart, extension of my home, extension of everything. So we break bread a lot. We get together. We have parties a lot, get bands and, you know, dance together. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anything better than having the people you love in one spot with a crazy band playing into the wee hours of the morning around a campfire and just really, you know, connecting. And I think that is one of those things that just fills you up, right?
Yeah, it is. And I love that. I love that visual that you just gave everyone. So last night, I went to the grocery store and I only brought my 3-year-old daughter. And when we were coming home, you know that song Gangnam Style that's really popular by that Korean guy? Okay. So
I can dance it. My 14-year-old Calvin and my 12-year-old Ben, when that comes on, it's always cranked up and everyone dances. I don't care. If you're a stranger in the house, before long, everyone's on their feet, you know? Anyway, carry on.
Everybody knows what they're doing. Exactly. And so it came on the, and my kids know the song. And so I got my daughter out of the car seat and we had a dance party in the garage and her laughter was, and my husband came out, opened the garage door and he's like, what are you doing? Cause I had the stereo up turned so loud in the car with all the doors open. And I was so out of breath. I couldn't even talk to him. We had the best time for 2.5 minutes and just her laughter alone was worth $1 million to me. So it's just little things like that that really, really make a difference.
Well, you know, I have my elves. By the way, there's no one else here, so this had to be an elf, or I did it myself. But I'm going to pretend it was an elf. Look up on the Google search of the top 10 traditions. And do you want to know what they are? This is just one site. So, I mean, they could all be different. So number 10, driving by to look at Christmas lights. And I know people will do that. They'll rent a limousine and all the girls will go out together and a bottle of champagne and they go, or whole families will go out there. So there's one. Snow tubing. So if you're near a ski hill or if you've got a sled, go out sledding or snow tubing. Number 8, Christmas movie night. You got to do it. What's your favorite Christmas movie, Andrea?
Oh, it's definitely A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
With Ralphie and the BB gun.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. And number 7, church Christmas programs, people who go to church. Number 6, buying and picking out the family tree, either cutting it down or just going to get it. Number 5, decorating the Christmas tree. Number 4, putting out Santa's cookies and milk. Number 3, baking Christmas cookies. Number 2, hanging the Christmas lights. And number 1, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Kelowna, British Columbia, is having Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to see it more specific than that. Like I was talking to someone and she was upset because there was this particular restaurant that was closing down in town. And she said, I'm going to be sad because that's the restaurant that we always go to for Christmas dinner. So things like that, like very, very specific things. Like maybe you always go to Baskin Robbins and get ice cream, you know, the weekend before Christmas, or something that's maybe a little bit more obscure than the top 10. I think those are the things that people, it's just a little bit more unique.
No, I agree. I have a friend, what she does, her family does, the night before Christmas, they all get together. And they get these pantyhose and they buy all of these kind of nonsensical, funny and silly gifts. And sometimes you buy your own gifts for that stuff you need for the year. And everyone stuffs these pantyhose. So imagine, I mean, there's like 12, 14 of them get together. So that when you walk in the Christmas morning, the whole floor is covered in these absolutely full pantyhose. And it sounds like a crazy tradition, but there's two things happen. The family gathers to stuff them and they laugh like crazy. And the house looks like this huge. And again, some of them are just big things you need, like a big coat you're going to buy anyway and stuff like that. But then they sit for hours in the morning and they sit around and they empty. And I just think, you know, what a great tradition. It really is it's funny.
That's neat. Well, and some traditions don't always work out. Okay. So a couple of years ago, I decided, well, I've had two traditions that went gangbusters and just did not work. So I decided that I wanted to make garlands out of popcorn. You know how you get the needle and the fishing line and you can make these garlands of popcorn. And I thought it looked really neat and I thought it would be something that kids could help me with. My son was the only one old enough at the time to help, lost interest in about 2 minutes and wanted to eat it. But that took so long. Me and my mom looked at each other after like an hour and we were like, this sucks. Because the popcorn kept breaking. Like you have to get it. We didn't do that again.
Listen, I tried that 2 years ago. And not only that, but you keep sticking your finger as well.
Yes. Yeah. So you're bleeding and you have popcorn all over the floor.
And you hate Christmas.
Yeah. And you are cursing and it's just not worth it. And then another time I love the idea of baking and I'm like kind of envious of these moms that make these incredible goodies like for every holiday. So I decided, I went online and got cookie cutters for, I didn't just get Christmas ones. I bought every single holiday. Okay, I get them and I am doing the dough with my kids and I am determined that I am going to be this mom that creates these really neat Christmas tree cookies and we decorate them. Oh my God. You couldn't even tell what they were. And my husband's laughing. The kids didn't even like the way they tasted. And I said, forget it. It's one of those things where, like, in theory, I really like the idea of being that mom, but I'm just not. And so I can't pretend that I am. So it was a learning experience. But, you know, I think my point is, don't stick to it. It goes back to, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
I love it. I love it.
If the tradition isn't working, you don't have to stick to it out of pride or obligation.
But there's a wonderful saying about traditions, which I think people should think about, is that, and we have like a tradition on Friday nights with our kids. So we have sushi and movie nights on Fridays. Uh-huh. And it's a tradition. And say, you know, you do traditions in the good times so that it carries you through the not so good times, right? And so when you have traditions, you always lean back on them. So whatever goes on in your life, the traditions are still there, which is awesome, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that I just, like I said in the very beginning of the show, is that we get so caught up in the doing, and it just is really sad when you think about it, because at the end, I'm going to get all esoterical here with you, okay, you ready? At the end of our life, no one is really going to give a shit all of the things that we crossed off our list. No one's going to care what present we bought them, or, you know, if we got that great parking space in the mall, or, you know, all of these things that at the time we think are so important. So, you know, if you're listening and you walk away with nothing else, just remember about, ask yourself, how do you want to be? And give yourself permission to get a little, you know, a little deep and introspective and just decide how you want to be. Like, what feelings do you want to create for yourself, because you're in charge.
Awesome. Now I'm gonna go quiet for a second here. Listen, you can't hear this, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm doing. I put on some Jewish holiday music because they celebrate Hanukkah. So I thought, you know, we'd sort of I can. Virtually, it's quite loud. There you go. Just for everyone else out there, we recognize all traditions, all ways. Just so you know.
Yes, we do.
So whatever way you celebrate your holiday.
Even Jehovah's Witness.
We love them. I have so many friends of all faiths. So I just turned it off, but I just thought I'd put a little Jewish holy music in there. But Andrea, before we go, we're almost at that witching hour there. You know, I always ask the question, you know, what's a kick-ass life? You answered it beautifully last time, but I'm going to ask you slightly differently. What's a kick-ass Christmas really mean to you?
Oh, a kick-ass Christmas means to me not going in debt, not doing anything that's not a hell yes. And it's just really, really creating memories for, and I'm a mom, so it's important to me for me to create memories for my kids that they carry with them after I'm gone.
Awesome. I like your like the sweets that you mentioned from your dad. I think that's such a beautiful story. Andrea, as ever, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
My pleasure.
It's so much fun to hang out with you. And obviously, this isn't going to be the last time, right?
Don't be so sure.
I will look for I'll look forward to that bottle of gin tapping on the door, on the doorstep. It's time.
With my bad breath, yeah.
All right, I'll see you on the other side.
All right, bye-bye.
See what I mean? See what I mean, Jelly Bean? I told you, she is just a rocker. And those steps, they're going to help you out, I tell you, for any time you're together, really, but especially this time of year. And again, however you spend this time of the year, whether you spend, and you don't celebrate Christmas at all. I know a lot of people listening that don't celebrate this holiday, absolutely not at all, which is fine. So just over this time, you know, maybe reach out to some friends and some family members and really give them your kick-ass heart. And but for those of you that do celebrate, and I'm going to play you another little Caribbean contribution. Jingle bells, Caribbean style. Here we go. You know, and I just want to sort of say, you know, my boys are going away for Christmas. They're going with their mom to Sweden. And so they'll be over there. She needs to see her dad. You know, he's getting on and she wants to make sure she spends some quality time with him. So my loves of my life are, well, at least two of them, they're off across the ocean again, having just got back from Belize. So I know they're going to have a kick-ass time over there. But I want to thank you again. You know, I'm so grateful that you're here listening in. And again, you know, I'm back in the saddle, looking forward to these next few weeks, and I've got some great things planned. And I keep wanting to take this to the next level. So come visit us on Facebook, thekickasslife.com. If you want to see some of the photographs from the trip down to Belize, I know I haven't posted any, but I know lots and lots of people have. And you can go to my David T.S. Wood Facebook page, David T.S. Wood Facebook page, and you'll see loads of photographs and some of the stuff we were up to, and I think it'll give you a real sense about the time I was away. So if you want to do that, join us there. And don't forget, you know, get involved. If you've got some thoughts and ideas, if you've got some suggestions, or you've got people you want me to bring on the show, I am an open book. I am an open book. This is your show. And also, don't forget, there's a little button on our website, thekickasslife.com. There's two of them, Bluehost, who runs all of our stuff for us, and we're really pleased with them, and of course, the Amazon button. So if you're buying anything online this year, if you go through there, it doesn't cost you any more. It just means that we can get a little kickback to help us keep the show on the air, which will help us all. And so please do that. Anything you're buying, if you're buying something really, really big, like a refrigerator or anything, that's awesome. That means a bigger kickback. But, you know, whether you're buying books or anything else like that, if you buy online, if you just go through our site, click on that little box, that'll just help us out. And it's a way of us being able to pay our bills, keep the lights on, and buy new batteries for this recorder I go around the world with. Mind you, I've got to dry the sucker out right now. But remember, you know, this time of the year, it's always to me about being more present, giving more of your heart, just showing up, you know, and being truthful, you know, letting your authentic light shine so brightly. So, you know, however you spend the holidays, whether it's with celebration or not celebration, you know, just realize that you can change lives by just showing up and really seeing people, all people, whether they're cleaning the rooms of your hotels or whether they're, you know, cleaning the bathrooms you're using at your office. You know, if you take a moment and connect with them, you're going to find a beautiful human being staring back who has a story. And I've always found that those stories are always quite compelling and worth taking the time to reach out to. And in the same way, you know, it may be the manager of your or the owner of your company, someone you don't speak to a whole lot. Just reach out, say hi, and just connect. Have that open spirit, that open heart, and lead with fascination, that curiosity, that little piece of you. Let it just show up and really see them. And when people feel seen,
it kind of ignites their own light and feels heard. You know, just go and ask questions. I always say one of the greatest opening lines in history, I practice it every day, just say, hello. Or you say it in my British accent, hello, hello there. Just go say hi to some people and ask a few questions and watch what happens. Before long, you'll be tumbling into a conversation. And who knows, maybe those people will be the people you'll invite next year to share the holidays with you because you've become so close. And I was, you know, I always think about that, how my closest friends have come into my life. They all came in the same way. One of us said hello to the other. And if I know me, it could have been me because I like going first. And that's how it started. Every relationship in my life started that way, with a hello and some curiosity and a little bit of time. And before long, you end up with these magnificent relationships and friendships where you share this kick-ass journey called life. And remember, you know, we never know when it's going to end. I know my buddy of mine lost his dad this week, so I'm going to dedicate this show to him. Tim, this show is for you, wherever you're at right now, wherever you are on your journey. I know you left unexpectedly, you know, it was still pretty young, late 60s. But yeah, Tim Minor, this is for you. And as you sail away, this is for everyone. If you lost anyone, we celebrate your life. We celebrate your contribution and we celebrate your heart. And of course, remember, you're going to live on through our memories. So I'm a big believer in it's not about being afraid of death. It's about being afraid of not really living. So let's get out there and really live life, live it large, and take a few moments to fill up your own cup first so you can give it away. So I send my love. And thanks again, Andrea. That was a rocking show. And don't forget, share it with some friends. And let's really make a difference this time of year. Sending love. See you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.